Welcome back to the Make or Break Show, where each week we bring you stories of incredible makers and the make or break moments that have defined them along the way. I'm your host, Brandon, and this week we chat with Justin Cunanan of Justin Woodworks. We get into how he built his woodworking shop and what it takes to build for both yourself and clients, in addition to a full-time job. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. We're back with another fun one for you this week. We're going to get back into some woodworking with Justin. But before we do that, as always, right here at the very top of the show, I want to thank all the awesome and wonderful supporters of the show over on Patreon. If you guys would like to support and help get this show out on a mostly weekly basis, we did miss last week, but you guys can do that over at patreon.com/makeforbreakshop. And not only do you support the show, but you'll also support the Build channel over on YouTube, as well as my website, makeorbreakshop.com. But thank you so much if you guys do support, and if you don't, that is totally fine. Just the fact that you're listening right now means the world. And I'd love to hear from you guys. If you guys are enjoying these interviews, I know the format's been kind of the same for a while now, but if you like this, or maybe you want to see something a little bit different, make sure and hit me up over on Instagram at the Make or Break Shop. I'd love to hear from you and also see the awesome things that that you're working. Also, another thing I want to mention right here at the top of the show. So monthly, I want to do giveaways, and this is actually inspired by Mark Spagnuolo, the Wood Whisperer, who is a former guest, as well as he's been around this world for a super long time. And I'm starting in February, so actually starting today, you guys can enter to win something new, and I'm going to work to give some like unique stuff potentially. But this one, so I've been doing these reviews on these laser engravers that I'm getting from China. And they actually surprisingly work pretty well. But so I'm giving away one of those, and you guys can check it out over at makeorbreakshop.com/giveaway. This is one that I did a review of early December. So it's like a 15-watt laser engraver, and it does some pretty cool stuff. So you guys can check it out again at makeorbreakshop.com/giveaway, and then I'll let you know as we're going forward into the year some of the other ones that we have coming up. But let's actually get into the show with Justin. So like I mentioned, Justin is a woodworker. He designs and builds furniture, not only for himself, but also for clients. So we get into building up his shop. We get into what it takes to work with clients, kind of that design process and the back and forth, as well as just some of his favorite builds and some of the people that he loves to follow. Justin's a great guy, way over on the West Coast doing some amazing stuff. And without further ado, let's jump into our interview with Justin. All right, guys, welcome back to the Make or Break Show. We're hanging out with Justin Cunanan today, calling in from Corona, California, woodworker. Excited to chat with you about the projects that you work on, as well as kind of your background and getting into it all. But man, thank you so much for jumping on and chatting with us.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be here.
Well, cool, man. Well, I guess to start right off, in terms of woodworking, is that this isn't your day job, is that right?
No, okay, it's not. You're right. I guess what people call it is a semi-hobbyist. You know, I do take commissions here and there, but I'm a firefighter full time by profession, and woodworking is kind of something I picked up several years ago, and it's just kind of taken me, just like many other people, on this journey that I never thought.
Yeah. We've had talked to several firefighters because they mentioned like it's the schedule, like it's either like a few days on, a few days off, so it makes it really nice to like work on projects because you could have multiple days in a row.
Absolutely, yeah. So my schedule is basically 2 days on in a row, and then 4 days off, and that cycle just repeats over and over and over again. Obviously that changes during fire season out here. You could work a lot longer, but it does provide for a lot of shop time and family time, which is important.
I
dig it.
That's cool. And Jesse, you have two boys, is that right?
I have two boys and a girl.
Okay.
And she'll be making her debut in the shop here, you know, shortly too, but I just introduced her to the lathe a little while ago, so we'll see where that goes.
How old are they?
So my oldest is about to turn 14, which is kind of weird for me to say that. My middle guy who was part of the guitar build, he is 12, and my daughter is 8 years old.
Okay. That's crazy. I have a daughter who's about to turn 2. We have another one on the way. So they're a little ways off, I guess, from helping me or do anything in the shop.
Well, congratulations. So. I will say I miss those ages, man.
Yeah, she's actually sleeping right now. I'm home with her because she got the flu. So she's in like the daycare where you get sick with everything and all that crazy stuff. But she's doing good. Well, cool. Well, I'd love to kind of get into your background as far as like how you got into making. Did you kind of come in at the route where like you wanted to build things around your house, or did it go further back from there?
This is going to be I'll try to keep it short.
No, but, you can go long. Yeah, this is audio, so okay. You're good. Whatever you want to do.
Okay, cool. So, you know, I didn't grow up with any woodworking environment around me at all. When I got hired as a firefighter, which was 15 years ago, you know, there's several guys that were into carpentry couple other guys that were into woodworking, and it just fascinated me because I had no idea how things were put together. I guess fast forward, I asked if I could basically be an apprentice for a guy that was making a built-in entertainment center for another coworker, and I was basically a sander, and he was just showing me how things were basically made. So fast forward to buying our own place, you know, I dabbled a little bit with, you know, I had a circular saw and thought I could make a lot of cool things. And I just made like a bookshelf, and this was like 10 years ago,
okay.
or at least 10 years ago. But not really diving into woodworking, just trying to get my feet wet. And then, I'd say I picked it back up about close to 5 years ago when a buddy of mine, Josh, he posted, and he's a woodworker. He's that Berserk Woodworks guy that I hang around
with
quite often. He posted a photo of his coffee table that he made for his house. I'm like, you know what? I really want to try doing this, you know? And I have to give credit to my wife as well. She picked up like she called it a church pew, but it was actually like the seating for a horse carriage.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That was left in front of a church, and she picked it up and she wanted me to restore it. And I'd say that project, restoring it, which it took me like 2 years to actually tackle it, but kind of restored my interest in woodworking. And then fast forward to now, it just hasn't stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. How much time would you say, like in a typical week, you spend building stuff?
You know, it comes and goes. I have some commissions that are lining up right now. I've gone through a year where I allowed myself to get really busy, and it was just too much juggling everything. So I guess that's the benefit. I can kind of control that. But in the shop, you know, I'm in here at least, I don't know, it's hard to say, but probably 20 hours
in
a week doing something, just tinkering or working on a project.
Right. So it's kind of between a hobby and like a part-time job, almost, it sounds like.
I would definitely call it, like a part-time furniture maker type.
Yeah. So do you do, are most of your builds now like for clients, or are you still doing stuff for yourself?
My wife would like me to say that we're doing more stuff for ourselves, but I tend to take on more client builds, you know, so to reinvest in other shop tools or whatever. Right. But I have a couple projects that I have lined up for the next few months for our house, which is kind of nice. So it goes back and forth, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. I've got several builds I need to do for our house, but I keep like going down rabbit holes of building things for other people. And so I definitely need to start doing stuff. That's crazy. So what is kind of your shop setup currently?
Well, I'm in a 3-car garage, which is nice that my wife allows me to, you know, basically take up this whole man cave, I guess.
Yeah.
I try to keep everything done on a 1-car side because I do like the option of pulling a car in on the 2-car side to work on it or whatever I need to do with it. So I have it kind of mostly shoved to one side, but yeah, I dig it. It's kind of, you know, just like everyone else, it's like my little place to kind of get away.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in terms of like tools and equipment, is it kind of your, your typical, I guess, like woodworker shop?
Yeah, I mean, it's grown a lot over the last, you know, 3 years. I always joke around with other people that woodworking is just an excuse to buy tools.
But, it is, yeah, yeah.
yeah, it's, you know, I guess my latest items that I've bought are like a jointer and a planer.
Okay.
And yeah, I'd say it's pretty basic as far as the staple items that a woodworker would have, in their shop.
Yeah. Now also you have a pretty good size, CNC. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, the machining area on it is only 20 by 15.
Okay.
It looks bigger because it has an enclosure.
Okay. Gotcha.
And like a basically a built-in base on it. But yeah, it's an iconic CNC, and you know, it does everything that I need it to do. You know, I don't really need a larger machine than what that is right now. But it's a fun toy.
Yeah. Yeah. They are, gosh, aren't they a part of another company now, or am I thinking somebody different?
Yeah, no, Iconic CNC, they were acquired by Axiom, and Iconic,
yeah.
The guys at Iconic, Jeremy and Steve, it's a father son. They basically are still keeping the Iconic brand, but it's part of Axiom, and they're still providing all their, you know, one on one customer service type service to their customers. So it's nice to know them personally, but the Axiom acquisition was a huge jump for them. So
yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool to see them grow.
Yeah. I had, Steve on, cause he kind of talked about the history of Iconic, but I guess that was before the Axiom and everything. But he was like, he said like the customer service was like their biggest thing they loved. So, just the fact that just like, you know, their names is pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, going back then to when you were first, I guess, apprenticing or watching folks build and sanding. What about like building something like drew you to it?
Gosh, I can honestly say I don't know how to answer that. I guess I've always been into figuring things out in a way. Like I liked puzzles growing up. I even remember as a kid. Just this is very kind of weird, but just grabbing a hammer in the garage, and I found a nail, and like hammering it into that piece of wood was like, wow, this is like how you use a hammer,
right?
You
know? Right.
And God bless my dad, I love him, you know, but you know, those things weren't really taught to me growing up. So I guess I just wanted to figure out how things were made and kind of explore that process.
Yeah, yeah. And you said there was a gap, it sounded like, or a little bit like from that initial stage to when you got back into it.
Yeah, so, I mean, just like a lot of other people, you know, the gap was caused by, you know, I couldn't afford more tools, so I just thought it was
yeah.
a hobby that,
right.
you know, that I could really dive into. Yeah, when we moved from our first home to our next, and that, I guess that's kind of where the, hey, I want to make stuff for our house because I can't afford it. That's when that whole thing started. So made a coffee table and a dining table, which we still have to this day. And I hate looking at them, but, you know, you learn along the way. It's, I guess, a testament to the initial stages of the woodworking journey. But I always joke around with my wife that I just want to remake everything that I've ever made before.
You know? Right. Right.
Just
yeah.
Just to try new things out.
Yeah. I have the very first thing I ever built was, just like a farmhouse table, but like the construction lumber and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't know anything. And it was, I definitely bought green wood because it was definitely wet as I was cutting it. I used no glue. I was like, oh, you just use pocket holes. And it's these big like 4x4 posts. And so I'm sitting in it right now and it wobbles all over the place. And I'm like, this is so bad. I need to go back and make a real table. But,
you know, no joke. I just watched your video, like 10 minutes before this, podcast. And I wish that video was around when I was making that, my table.
Yeah, yeah. There were so many things. I was like, I don't know. I didn't know any of this stuff was a thing until you just got to kind of get into it sometimes. So.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just like anything. I learn best by making mistakes and, you know, lesson learned right away there. So.
So do you have a favorite build that is in your house, like something that you enjoyed working on?
Gosh. No, I mean, I have favorite builds that I've done for clients.
Okay.
But basically everything in my house, other than a hall tree that I made a couple years ago, everything was from the beginning years of woodworking, you know, and I find the flaws in them pretty quickly.
Yeah. So what about for clients? What's some of your favorite builds?
Gosh. So I'm trying to transition into more, contemporary type furniture or mid-century modern or Scandinavian type looks. So the last two pieces, that stick out in my mind, I've made a coffee table for a friend who's an interior designer. And the base basically was like it's like a Y pattern, I guess, like instead of an X.
Okay.
If you're looking from the top down, the base is, there's three legs to it that are connected. That was different for me. But prior to that, I made a dining table, which was pretty challenging design wise, but, and trying to engineer it in such a way that, you know, it was strong enough. Basically the, if you can follow along with this, the legs of it were splayed out at 45 degrees or I should say oriented at 45 degrees out. And the middle pieces were kind of like, it's almost like a whole miter across the legs.
Okay.
To the apron down to the other leg. And then the top was a floating tabletop.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I had to kind of engineer the insides of it, to make sure that, you know, basically the supports I made for the floating tabletop had to be mitered on the ends so that it could connect to the mitered apron.
Oh, wow.
If you follow that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm looking at a looks like a video on Instagram. Because was it like right before the Y pattern coffee table?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That looks so cool. Yeah, because the, so on the inside of that top, it's just in setting down into the apron. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So the 45s were basically glued on and screwed to the inside of that table. So it was just an interesting process. And I like to let clients kind of dictate where to go. And I might make recommendations or suggestions along the way because it might be something I want to try. But I guess in some ways I have ADD where I don't like to do the same project twice.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I let them kind of just throw an idea at me and I'll try to make it different than whatever the pictures or pictures from catalogs that they're showing me. I'll try to tweak it in a way to kind of make it both of our own project.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. How did you get into doing client work?
I guess I share a similar story with a lot of people. You know, it's just like people start finding out pretty quickly that you're, you know, buying tools and making things. And then, you know, it starts out with cutting boards. And, I guess I'm fortunate in the sense that, in the fire department, word of mouth travels, pretty quickly.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I've made a lot of different things for, my coworkers, and they've, you know, spread the word to their friends and family, and it just kind of goes from there. And like I said, I say no to a lot of inquiries just because I want to make sure it's something that I have the time to do, something that I can tackle and give my full attention to. I'm not going to try to pile on the work just to make money, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because I always feel like that's a big switch. I'm going to talk with people that are just building things for themselves, but then you start building things for other people, and it's like a whole, like it feels like a whole nother skill set you have to learn, like managing clients and doing designs and communication and all that kind of stuff. Was that hard for you to learn, or was it just since you kind of knew the people to start out, you just kind of rolled into it?
I'm still learning.
Okay, yeah.
It was such a big learning curve for me, just because I guess I was never like business minded, if you will, you know.
Right. Right.
But even like writing quotes and making sure that you're covered just in case, you know, the client doesn't like what you deliver. And I've had that happen.
Oh, man.
And, you know, there's two edges to that sort of where, you know, if it's a friend, you don't want to spoil that relationship, you know, with them and basically go off of business only transaction. It gets murky.
Right. Let's put it
that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a little bit of a learning curve. I'm still figuring things out, to be honest with you. But I enjoy the heart of what that boils down to, you know, is making something for someone else that they're going to basically create memories around. And that, whatever, the estimate and the business process of it all is just a very minute part of it. So I guess it's a necessary sacrifice to just bite the bullet and go through the proper channels to make sure both sides are protected.
Yeah. So when you started doing client work, is that why like you like had a logo and like started to brand yourself, or was that just like for social media and all that kind of stuff?
Another weird story. So I got tired of posting things on my personal account.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I felt like I was bragging a lot, you
right,
know, like
right.
I, which is weird to say, but I just didn't want to keep saying, "Hey, look what I made! Look what I made!" So it was like 2 a.m. I couldn't sleep at night, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start my own Instagram. And Justin Woodworks is like the thing that I just put it up there because it's the first thing that came to my mind. I fell asleep right after I created that account, and it just stuck for some reason, like. You know, friends caught on to it, and I'm like, you know, I just got to stick with this because now people are like recognizing the name Justin Woodworks. And then I went off and looked for a logo and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, if I had to do it all over again, I probably would have. Quite honestly, I probably would have renamed it something else. But it's mine now.
Yeah. How long have you had? I guess that. Or done work under that brand?
I would say probably almost 4 years.
Okay, yeah, so not
that long.
Yeah,
but yeah, maybe closer to 3.5 years. I think it was summer of 2016.
Yeah, because whenever I see your stuff, I feel like I always see that logo that you have, I guess, on your tool wall. Which looks amazing. Just chilling back there. Like this thing is so neat. Is that a CNC project or is that something you did custom or got made custom?
No. So, I've always, I guess every woodworker dreams of a dream shop, you know, but I've always had this, like I moved into this house 3 years ago. And I've always had this vision in my head, and there's been a couple sleepless nights here and there where I knew I wanted to make this wall, like almost like a feature wall. So,
right.
2 years ago, I ordered this sign from Lizzie over at House of Timber.
Right. Yeah, yeah. She does great stuff.
Yeah, she does. And I'm like, you know, she's the girl. And I told her exactly what I wanted. I wanted a white oak background with basically my logo in walnut. And so I got that made, and I didn't want to hang it up until I had this whole miter station done. So fast forward to now, it's kind of nice to see, you know, to walk – come in the garage and see it done. And I quite honestly, I'm like afraid to get this area dirty, you know, cause it's like,
right. Yeah.
It makes me smile, you know, but I appreciate the kind words. Lizzie did an awesome job on the sign. And yeah, I kind of joke around with people that, you know, I want my shop to inspire me also, you know, like I made up like kind of a corny saying that, you know, if you build your dream shop, you lay the foundation for your inspiration. So when I walk in here, I do get inspired. I start thinking about things I want to make and how I want it to look. And, you know, it's kind of cliche or corny, but it fits for me.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Mine shop has been hot mess, and mine's way more dirtier than yours, I think, just in general. But recently, I'm like, I don't even want to get in there because there's stuff everywhere. Like, I need to really clean it up just so, like, I actually enjoy walking in and making stuff. But, man, that miter station, then, that thing's so nice. Is that only about a month old then?
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, I'm still with on the honeymoon stage with it right now.
Like, yeah,
I catch myself staring at it. But yeah, it's pretty new, so I still have a couple things that I need to do to it, like inlay the T-track for a stop for the miter saw, and just some reorganization inside the drawers. I kind of just, you know, I tore the whole shop apart, and everything had a place before, and when I tore it apart, my OCD kind of drove me crazy, and I wanted to make this quick so that I could throw everything back in the drawers. But yeah, it is nicer. The shop feels way more efficient and more open than it used to feel. So I actually feel like I can enjoy working in here rather than moving two things to get to one. You know? So I'm anxious to start whatever client build comes next. And start on that project.
So did you tear the shop apart knowing that you wanted to do this build, or was it for a different reason?
I tore it apart, and I was afraid to make that leap to start tearing down cabinets, because there was cabinets here before. They were kind of falling apart. It was just a typical garage workbench type setup, but it wasn't functional or clean. Stuff was falling apart. It was made of particle board. So tearing it down was kind of satisfying, but I knew I had to get to work right away to get something functional back up. But yeah, it's everything's where I want it to be. It's kind of nice to. The little things save time, if you know what I mean. Before, like with the Festool sustainers, I was basically having to take a couple of sustainers off to get to the one that I wanted. And I know that's petty, but now they have drawers, so I can open the drawer and open up whatever tool I need without setting the box down somewhere else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I'm looking at it right now. Actually, it's nice. I'm happy with it.
So, was that a design? Like, was it something custom that you kind of came up with?
I did look for inspiration from other people that have done similar miter stations, and I kind of had an idea. I'm very OCD where I like everything symmetrical, right? Part of me wishes I made the left side longer than the right. I like the look of the symmetry of it. I feel like I didn't make anything new here. I kind of made everything to fit these sustainers. And actually the left side, which doesn't have the Festool stuff on it, if I wanted to, I could take out one bank of drawers. And it's the same width as the right, so I could use those if I wanted to grow my Festool stuff on that side. But I don't think I'm going to. I have what I need.
Gotcha. Yeah. So do you, or maybe even on the client side, will you do mock-ups before, as you're working through a design, or you kind of just jump right into it?
I try to make everything in SketchUp first.
Okay.
I used to, and this is a kind of a business mistake, but when someone would inquire and they would ask for a quote, I would design it in SketchUp really quick, and just to get an idea of how much material I needed, especially if it was a cabinetry piece. And I'm like, why am I wasting my time on this for them to say no? You know? So after I basically give them a rough estimate. And I go, okay, here's the next stage. I'm going to make a 3D rendition of this. I'm going to send you pictures of different angles and ideas that I have. and they basically approve or make other suggestions. And then I tell them that, you know, the first 2 to 3 changes or edits are free, but after that I need to start charging $75 a piece, which gets, I've never had to do that, but which gets them going on like really thinking, right, and picking apart the design. And then they approve it. And then that's when I kind of get to work and buy lumber and go to town.
Gotcha. So when you actually start in SketchUp and doing the design, like you have pretty much a contract at that point, like, you know, this is going to be a piece that you're going to be building.
I require a deposit, which kind of locks them in. And yeah, basically after they put that deposit down, I know they're serious, and I let them know my time frame, the flexibility that I'll need because of my full-time job that could possibly take me away during fire season, you know, for a couple of weeks. I just warn them about that. I've only had that happen to me once, and they were more than happy to, you know, wait. But yeah, and then after that, yeah, it's build time.
Yeah, that's cool. I feel like, because I definitely hear people, they'll say they'll have to do delays or they'll have excuses, but I feel like you have a really good excuse if you have to delay. Hey, I need to go fight fires so your house doesn't burn down. Is that cool? How long does take the table that you're talking about that had the crazy miners on it and the floating top? Uh-huh. Like, how long does a build like that take? Like, once you have the design and then you've got like the materials and you're ready to go.
I'd say it could take as little as 2 weeks. I think that one took me about 3 to 4 because we went on vacation, and she knew I was going on vacation in the middle of that. I like to that build specifically. Just I think I had 5 times as much hours in thinking about it.
Gotcha. Because it was like that was a total custom one, right? Like something you hadn't done before. Okay.
Totally. You know, and I've done like farmhouse tables before, and I don't really need to think about those as much as I did this one. But I guess a typical table, I tell people, I give myself like a 3 to 6 week turnaround time, but I tell them realistically it'll probably be 2 to 4 maybe, just to give myself some flexibility, you know, and with 3 kids and a family and full-time job, like there's going to be stopping points along the way that I have to step away. I can't dedicate an 8-hour day to being in the garage away from the kids, you know, and we homeschool. So they're home all the time. So I always feel a draw to go back inside for whatever reason, you know, make lunch or dinner or whatever. But yeah, it's a, I've been pretty fortunate that all the clients have been forgiving in when I have to ask for kind of a informal extension, I guess, you know. One of the builds I did over the summer, her whole remodel was hinging on my build, which I didn't think that what I was making was, you know, you're waiting on me. But she texted me one day and was like, "Oh, you know, our flooring and our kitchen is waiting for your build to, you know, so that we can continue." And I'm like, okay, I have like, I'll be done in like a week, you know? And she's like, okay. So I think she just wanted to put the pressure on me because she was getting a little, and I like to take my time. I like to take my time on builds and go through the details and, just make sure everything is something that I can hand over, you know?
Yeah. What's your favorite part of the whole process?
Oh gosh, that's a toughie. I like the design process. I like when I finish a SketchUp drawing and I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then fast forward to when it's done, I always like putting the SketchUp drawing next to the finished product. And I'm like, it is cool to see an idea that was basically just thoughts and ideas come from that next step to a big pile of wood, and then the next step is this is what a cool piece of furniture or whatever. But along the way, I like figuring out the just how things are going to fit together, and when the plan comes together and the joints fit tightly, and you know, things are going smooth, which obviously they don't always go smooth, but I enjoy that.
Right.
I think most woodworkers are hermetists in a way where they just like throwing some tunes on and tuning out the world, you know, and just kind of going to work and zoning out. I enjoy that. So I guess there's a lot of different things that I enjoy in this process. My line of work doesn't allow a lot of, I guess, creativity. And, you know, like this is, I've always been, I guess, somewhat creative. Like I used to draw a lot. I used to, my first semester of college, I majored in like graphic design, you know, like I've always had that itch to, if it was making music or if it was playing guitar or drawing, like I always needed something creative to do. So this provides that outlet for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. So even though you mentioned that, because I would definitely agree, a lot of folks that are woodworkers just like to kind of be by themselves and build stuff. But I'm definitely talking to you from the other side of the country because there's a cool like woodworking and maker community. But how did you get kind of plugged into that world to start out with?
As far as the community on Instagram?
Yeah, like on Instagram, yeah.
And that's one of those things. I don't think anyone could have forecasted how cool this was going to be. But I started the Instagram account. I think back at the time I was just following like 3 or 4 different people. And I just decided to make my own account. And I thought I was just going to post finished builds, you know. But it kind of picked up and it kind of grew into, you know, a little network of other woodworkers that you can ask advice from, that encourage you. Everyone has been very positive in their comments. Every once in a while you'll get one bad comment or whatever, but I've made true friendships along the way, and I'd say how I got into it was purely accidental. I never had the intention of making friends off of this. And I mean, it's to the point where me and several other makers are getting invited to a wedding, you know, it's
that's cool,
it's just, and I've met other firefighters who are on Instagram as a woodworker as well that are locals. So it's kind of cool to chat with them on both sides of the spectrum of our jobs and stuff. I feel fortunate. It's pretty cool to see. I just talk phone calls. I mean, I never thought it'd be other than Instagram and just having phone calls with people. You know, I just talked to the wood pastor last night, Stephen Machuca. I don't know. And it's just kind of, it's a neat little subculture in the world.
Yeah.
You know,
on the, maybe the design side of things, like, are there folks like you really just enjoy just how they think and how they build things?
Yeah. So right now, if he listens to this, I'm going to mention it to him, but Gregory Ryoski, he just changed his name back to the Roaring Woodwork. He's based out of Petaluma, California. He does some stuff that I want to basically grow up to do.
<You know? laughs> Okay. Yeah.
I let him know that too. He's very talented, a lot of mid-century modern pieces. There's another guy, I'm not sure if I'm going to say his name right, but Joseph Lamacchia.
Okay.
He does a lot of cool prismatic type modern pieces as well. I like people, this is going to sound corny or cliche, but I look up to people that look like they are having a true romance with their work.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's maybe it's something that I need to grow into as far as my patience and really taking my time. But those two makers that I just mentioned, they're true artists to me. And, I'd like to get there someday. I haven't done any work on that end as far as like creating a template and doing a router template type furniture.
Yeah.
I haven't done any of those yet, but that's something that I'd like to dive into.
Yeah, I'm looking at Joseph's site right now, and it, yeah, it's just like sculpted pieces that, like, all the angles and that stuff is really neat. That's interesting though that you like the artistic piece of it as well. So it's not just functional for you in the stuff that you're making.
Yeah, I guess I would love one day to design my own chair, design basically a signature table, and I could be totally happy with that. You know, if it's something that I like to look at and looks like an art piece but is functional, without looking too abstract,
right?
You know?
Right. Yeah.
I think that's what I look up to. Jory Brigham is another one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's along those lines as well. And they use a lot of walnut, and I love walnut.
Right. Right.
But yeah, that's where I want to start heading and experimenting into.
That's neat. So one question I did have just on like a practical side of things, cause I'm bad at it. Cause I do see like a lot of your builds, definitely incorporate walnut, and sometimes they're like large pieces. Like, is there, like, how do you decide between whether it's going to be like walnut plywood or you're going to use like solid walnut and like joint boards together and do all that?
Oh, geez. I guess it depends on the build. I mean, I've only used like walnut plywood. I had obviously on this miter station, but I had a platform bed that the guy wanted. I guess that was decided by the client.
Okay.
He wanted walnut, and I'm like, wow, that's going to be expensive. And
yeah.
I threw numbers out, and he's like, no, go for it. I'm in. I've been gravitating towards white oak for furniture builds lately, like that miter table. That was white oak. Was that my first project with white oak? But I don't know. I like the way how sturdy it is, you know, the white oak. But walnut's definitely my favorite to work with. I just don't quite have the client base to pay for a walnut table yet, or I haven't had the inquiries for it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it's just nice to work with.
That's cool. The designs are just crazy, what those folks do. And then, the stuff you're putting out is really cool. I need to do some more stuff with white oak. I keep hearing people, really enjoying, especially if you're wanting something light, it feels like it's a good way to go.
Yeah. The prices out here are kind of, increasing a little bit, cause I feel like it's in demand. So obviously it raises the price, but, I like the way it stains. I like the way it looks. It seems to be a lot of interior designers are requesting it right now, you know, just for its look. But I enjoy working with it. It does, you know, splinter off here and there on occasion, but I dig it. I dig it a lot.
Yeah. So do you do work, like, are most of your clients just like you're working with the actual client, or like, will you have interior designers reach out to you, and kind of rope you into their, not rope you in, but like include you in like a design they're pitching to somebody else?
No, I mean, I that coffee table I made, for her, a friend that is getting into the interior design world, she's just getting her feet wet. So, has inquired about several other pieces, and it's up to her clients whether they want to continue or not. So that's the only experience I really have with them. I'd love to work with more interior designers and just go through, that process with them and, you know, have them listen to, you know, my recommendations or suggestions design wise. You know, I can't say I'm great at it, but I do have some opinions about how things should look and how it would work structurally. And, I don't know. Going back to the creative process, I like that process of like making an idea and forming it into something that's tangible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, Clement, well, I appreciate you taking the time and chatting with me. Building, which I'm sure you want to be doing, but I'll let you get back to it. But for people that do want to follow along with you, any good places that you would you'd send them?
Yeah, so Instagram is probably my most active, Justin_Woodworks. And I just threw up a video on YouTube. I don't know if I'll continue down that line, but Justin Woodworks on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
That's really it. I only have two videos up there, but one was from 4 years ago and the one was from this miter saw station. So
yeah, I was looking at I guess your different like social media, and I saw the YouTube and I was like, wait a minute, is it filtering out different ones? And it's like, oh no, he just put one out. That's cool.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if I continue down that road. But editing for YouTube is way different than Instagram.
Yes, there's like a lot that goes into it. Well, cool, man. Well, I appreciate your time and chatting.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, totally. All right. Thanks for hanging around to the end of the show. This is where I give you a quick update about the things I've got going on inside of my shop. And it's been pretty busy here recently. I've been working on a new video that's actually going to be a review of an air purifier, air filter, I guess you'd call it. This one was kind of random. They reached out to me. It's a company called EnviroCleanse. And they said, hey, would you want to check this thing out? And I dug into it a little bit more, and it actually looked pretty sweet. So the interview was actually, or the video was supposed to go live on Friday, but my daughter came down with the flu, so I actually had to push it back, and it's going to be going up on Monday or Tuesday. But doing some fun stuff like lighting off sparklers inside of my shop and testing out how quick it can filter out smoke and all that kind of stuff. It's a pretty fun one. And then build's coming up, so we're going to be doing some flat pack furniture, but for dollhouses. And so I'm going to do kind of the full design process in Fusion 360. I've been doing more of those videos here recently. So if you did want to make it like full scale, but then I'm going to scale it like to an 18th of the size, because my daughter's birthday is coming up and we're making a dollhouse, or my wife is making a dollhouse, and we're making a bunch of furniture for it. And then we'll have some kind of normal build videos here pretty soon. And another thing that's going to be coming here, and you guys, I might have mentioned, I'm not sure yet, is so I've been doing these videos on the 3D modeling program, Fusion 360. I actually made an end table here a couple weeks back that I believe is the most recent video up on the channel. But I've been getting a lot of just questions about kind of the process and how you go about designing furniture. So what I'm going to be doing here in the next few weeks is actually putting together a pretty quick course on Fusion for folks, specifically furniture makers or woodworkers, people that want to design it, be able to modify the design super quick, which you can do in Fusion, and then create plans and create renders, whether you're working with clients or you're just working with yourself. It's a pretty powerful program. It can do a ton of stuff, but I really wanted to narrow in specifically on the folks that more than likely are watching and listening to this podcast. So if that is something that you are interested in, you can head over to makeourbreakshop.com/Fusion360, and that is Fusion 360. And there is a sign up there, and so I can get your information and let you know about the info that is coming out here very, very soon. But as always, I would love to know the things that you guys are working on. You can hit me up over at the Make or Break Shop on Instagram. And until next time, go make or break something in your shop. See you guys.